Last week we started a two-part lesson entitled Prayer from the Belly of a Fish. This particular lesson comes from Jonah 2, beginning at verse 1. The Bible says this, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord out of the fish's belly." In that first lesson, we did several things. Number one, we looked at the background of this prophet. He was the son of a man by the name of Amittai. He was from a town in Galilee by the name of Gath-Hepher. He was also a prophet, meaning that he was a spokesman for God. He was an individual who had received an anointing of God, and therefore he should have constantly had his focus upon doing the will of the Almighty. However, we noted too that Jonah transgressed the will of God. He was called by God to go to a very wicked city by the name of Nineveh and there preach against it. In fact, God said, "Cry out against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." Jonah, however, knew the Ninevites, despised the Ninevites, and therefore rebelled against the command of God. He immediately fled to the town of Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish, paid the fare thereof, and there he went, setting sail for Tarshish, better known as Spain. The Bible says he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord. His actions, however, provoked our third point last week, and that is the wrath of the Almighty God, didn't it? And that wrath was poured out against Jonah in at least three different ways. Number one, there was the great storm that came upon the sea. In fact, the Bible says that it was God who sent a great wind upon the sea. It tossed that boat to and fro to the point that those on board thought that the ship was like to be broken. The second part of his punishment was to be cast overboard, wasn't it? Jonah recognized that this particular storm is not something that is just a fluke of nature. Oh no, this is punishment. This is the wrath of the Almighty God being poured out upon me because I am disobedient unto Him. And he cries out to be thrown overboard, and eventually the men do exactly that. Think about that. Tossed out into the very midst of the Mediterranean Sea itself. All by yourself. But that led to the third part of the punishment, and that was the fact that God prepared a great fish, the Bible says, and that great fish came and swallowed up Jonah. And he was in the belly of that fish for 3 days and 3 nights. What a pleasant atmosphere that must have been. You see, my friends, when you and I are disobedient unto God, God oftentimes will pour out His wrath upon us in order to wake us up, in order to bring us to our knees, in order for us to see how bad that we are in rebellion against the Almighty God. And God's wrath was effective against this prophet, wasn't it? In fact, we talked about five things the wrath of God caused Jonah to do. And one of those was pray unto God. And that's our first point for this morning's lesson, Jonah's prayer. It's recorded for us in Jonah, the second chapter. As we enter into this particular point, let's go back to the idea that Jonah was in the belly of that whale 3 days and 3 nights. That's a long time, isn't it? I don't know whether it were a full 72 hours, but it was close to that, wasn't it? Now the Bible says at some point during that 72-hour period that Jonah prayed out of the belly of the fish. As I was thinking about Jonah, a question came to my mind, and it was this: how long did it take him to pray? Wouldn't you like to know that? I'd love to have Jonah here, right on that front row. Jonah, how long before you prayed? There you are, swallowed up by a great fish, splashing around in the belly of that fish. Did it take him an hour? 2 hours? Was he there for a 24-hour period before he finally cries out unto the Almighty God? We're going to have to die, go to heaven, find Jonah to find out the specific answer to that question. But folks, there's two verses that help us to know when Jonah prayed. One of them is found in Jonah 2, verse 2. Notice what he says. He said, I cried by reason of my affliction. We jump down just a few verses in verse 7 and look what he says. My soul fainted within me, and I remembered who? I remember the Lord. And my prayer came up unto thee. Jonah says, when I was afflicted enough, when my soul finally fainted within me, then I prayed unto God. How long that was, I just don't know. But there's a wonderful lesson for us here, isn't there? And it's simply this. Folks, when individuals are afflicted enough, and when individuals are under the burden of the wrath of the Almighty God long enough, when their soul faints within them, finally, they will turn to God and they will seek assistance from God through prayer. And that is exactly what Jonah did. Jonah knows what it's like to be hanging on to the end of your rope. He understands exactly what it's like to almost be ready to give up. My soul was fainting within me, and I cried out unto the Lord my God. Let's look for just a few minutes at the content of Jonah's prayer. There are 4 points to that prayer that we could talk about and spend a lot of time on. The first one is this. He talks about his punishment. And I find it interesting how he describes his punishment. Notice, for thou hadst me cast into the deep. He then says, into the midst of the sea. His punishment was being thrown out there in the middle of the depths, was it not? And having that great fish swallow him up. Notice this second point. I am cast out of thy sight, he says. Think about that. This casting Jonah overboard and this great fish coming along and swallowing up Jonah is symbolic of Jonah being taken away from the very presence of the Almighty God Himself. Now that's interesting, isn't it? That's why he boarded the ship in the first place, wasn't it? The Bible says that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord. And in his sin, in his iniquity, in his transgression of the Word of God, he did exactly that, did he not? God said, fine, if you want to be taken away from my presence, wonderful. Let me allow you to be swallowed by a great fish in the depths of the sea. Notice that last statement. I am cast out of thy sight. Folks, when you and I sin against God, we cut off our ties from the Almighty, don't we? Our sins and our iniquities have separated between us and our God. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. Secondly, he talks about the pain that he experienced while he was in the belly of that whale. Again, I would love just to stop for a few minutes, not talk about this, and just allow Jonah to come up here for about 20 or 30 minutes and describe those 3 days. Wouldn't you like to hear that? Here's some of the things that he said. Mine affliction. Chapter 2, verse 2. Notice this next statement, same verse. He says this, out of the belly of hell. That's the Greek word for Hades in the New Testament. Sheol. Folks, he was in the very belly of death itself in that whale. Notice he says, waters compassed me about. Even what? Even to the soul. Jonah says, the depths closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. Boy, now that's a nice description, isn't it? The seaweed, whatever was in the belly of that fish, wrapped about the head of Jonah. I don't even like to walk through a spider's web, do you? Get that spider web all over my hair and stuff. I'm just kicking and screaming until I get it out. Can you imagine seaweed being all over you, constantly being entangled around your face? My soul fainted within me, he says. Notice, I went down to the bottom of what? To the bottom of the mountains, folks. Those great fish can go all the way to the very depths of the ocean floor itself, and he could feel every movement of that fish, could he not? The earth with her bars were about me forever. He felt closed in, didn't he? He felt entrapped. He could feel the darkness. You see, he describes his pain when he was in the belly of that fish. But then it was that punishment that brought prayer, wasn't it? Notice, I cried, he said. Verse 7, he says this, my prayer came unto thee. Isn't it wonderful to know that when you and I are afflicted to such a point that we are about to give up hope, that we have a place to turn, don't we? Regardless of how low we are, regardless of where we are in the earth, can you imagine that? Being in the belly of a fish. He's the only man that I ever know who prayed from that particular locale. And yet he could still talk to his God. Now, there's a reason why he did that, the prospect. Listen to some of the statements that he makes. Number one, and he heard me. It doesn't matter where we are. We can be at home. We can be in the wilderness. We can be at work. We can be at school. We can be at play. We can be in the belly of a fish. And guess what? God can hear. Jonah knew that. All I've got to do is cry out unto God, and he will hear me. Thou heardest my voice, he said. Notice this next one. I will look again, what? Unto thy holy temple. Somehow, in Jonah's mind, he knew things were going to be okay. One of these days, I will look upon your holy temple again. Remember we said that part of this fleeing from the presence of God was running from the city of Jerusalem, running from the very presence of God in the temple of God. And now what does he say? I will look on that temple again. His prospect. Notice what he says. Thou hast brought my life up from corruption. Salvation is of the Lord. Why did he pray, folks? He prayed because he knew God would hear and he knew God would deliver. That's why. Isn't that a wonderful thought? We have a God to which we can go at any time in our lives and know that he will hear us, that he will see our afflictions, and that he will deliver us therefrom. Notice this. Because Jonah served the God of heaven, he had hope, didn't he? Notice, hope in the midst of disobedience. Hope in the midst of a great fish. Hope in the midst of darkness. Doesn't matter how bad. Doesn't matter how difficult. That life becomes, guess what? There is always hope with God. That leads to point number three. Folks, that hope is based on Jonah's penance, isn't it? When you look at Jonah 2, verse 9, Jonah makes an interesting statement. But I will sacrifice unto the Lord with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Before he made those statements, There are other things that he said. Number one, I remembered the Lord. Remember what he said? When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. It's easy to forget God, isn't it? For some reason, even though we are children of God, even though we are faithful servants of God for the most part, there still can be times in our lives where things get so bad, so difficult, so hard, that what? We forget God. And it's finally when we turn and we remember, you know, there is a God of heaven who can help me, that finally relief can come. Notice secondly, he says that I am aware of the grace of God. Get your Bibles out and look at Jonah 2 verse 8. He makes an interesting statement. He says this, all who trust in lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Now that is a weird statement, is it not? To make in the belly of a fish. Here Jonah is, tossed around with seaweed all over his head, in absolute darkness, going down to the bottom of the ocean, coming back up, locked into the bars, the rib cage of that great fish, nowhere to go, the stench that's there, wondering what's going to happen to him. And what does he think about? He thinks about those who serve lying vanities. Those who serve idols. And guess what he says? They forsake their own mercy. Here's what he's really saying. I thank God that I serve the true and living God where there is mercy. What if Jonah had been a Gentile? What if Jonah had been an idol worshiper? What if Jonah had been an individual who constantly went to the temples of those false gods to worship, and he never knew the living God? Folks, in the midst of that belly, there would have been no hope. No hope. Those that what? Those that serve lying vanities forsake their own mercy. There's no hope in false gods. There's no hope in idols. There's only one God wherein there is mercy. And Jonah knew that he served that God. Thus, he cried unto the Lord. Wouldn't you love to hear the actual prayer that he spoke? The actual words that he said to the Almighty God? I'd love to have heard that, wouldn't you? Notice his prayer brought forth fruit. I will what? I will therefore sacrifice unto thee what? The voice of thanksgiving. As Jonah thought about his situation and where he was and the hope that he had a tremendous amount to be thankful for, did he not? We'll talk about that in a minute. Notice also what he says. I will pay that I have vowed. Notice the two words. I will sacrifice. I will what? I will pay. Folks, it's not enough just to look up to God and say, God, I'm sorry. That's not enough when it comes to repentance. There has to be action. There has to be fruit that's brought forth. And Jonah says, I am willing to bring forth the fruit. I am willing to give thanks unto God. I am willing to pay exactly what I have paid. He finishes it all with this, salvation is of the Lord. You see, if Jonah would do those first two things, guess what? He knew salvation would be his, didn't he? If I will truly give the sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, if I will truly pay that which I am supposed to pay unto God, if I will do what He wants me to do, guess what? I know there is salvation in the Almighty God. Folks, repentance involves a change, a deep change, a significant change in the life of the individual. When I was in the Memphis School of Preaching, Brother Richard Curry gave us this definition of repentance. A change of mind that leads to a change of what? Action. That results in a reformation of life. That's repentance. It's not simply crying. It's not simply saying, I'm sorry. It's not simply all these little things we want to do. It is a difficult, difficult process in the life of the individual. A radical, significant change. Question. Did Jonah radically change? His first call was very simply this. Notice the assignment. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. Why? For their wickedness is come up before me. What's the second assignment? Exactly the same. Notice what the text says. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Hardly any difference in the wording, is there? Not much. Go cry against it. Go preach the preaching that I bid thee. The assignment's identical, but the reactions are totally different. His first one was this. Then arose Jonah to do what? To flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. That was his first reaction. After he'd been in the belly of that fish and given the second assignment, notice his action this time. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. 180 degree change in the action of Jonah. Folks, that's repentance. Isn't it amazing? People come forward. They ask forgiveness for sin. Maybe it's for missing the worship services. And next week, they miss the worship service. I thought you were penning for missing the worship service. Well, I did. No, you didn't. If you truly repent, what happens? There is a 180 degree change. There is a radical alteration that transpires in our life, isn't it? And that's what makes repentance so hard and so difficult, folks. But Jonah made the change, and his life was different. Let's notice, lastly, Jonah's deliverance. Jonah 2, verse 10. And the Lord spake unto the fish. Well, wouldn't that be an interesting conversation? I can just hear God now whisper, spit him up, boys. And the Lord spoke unto the fish, and what? It vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. We need some movies made, guys. You know, we really do. Wouldn't you like to see that particular scene? Notice this. Jonah went from something to something, didn't he? In this deliverance. He went from confinement to freedom. He went from sea to land. Can you imagine when his feet hit the beach? He went from wet to dry. He went from darkness to light. He went from the displeasure of God to the good pleasure of God. He went from rebellion to obedience. He went from despair to hope. He went from a rebel back to what? To a prophet of the Almighty God. Folks, Jonah was right when he said these words. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. Jonah had a lot to be thankful for, didn't he? I am thankful that I have the God of heaven that I serve. I am thankful that He allows me to approach Him through the avenue of prayer, even in my sin. I am thankful that God provides man with an avenue to obtain His mercy and His forgiveness. I am thankful that God will allow me to be delivered out of all my transgressions. I am thankful for a second chance. See, I will what? Sacrifice unto Thee with a voice of thanksgiving. Guys, a story like this is almost beyond comprehension, isn't it? In fact, there are many people today in our world who look at this book and they just discredit everything that's written in it. And they'll bring up a story like Jonah and the whale, or Jonah and the great fish. And they'll go, yeah, right. A man won't go preach at a city. He gets on board a ship. God stirs up the ocean. He begs to be thrown overboard, so they do. This big old fish, a whale, whatever it was, you don't even know what it is, swallowed him. Then he spit him up 3 days later. Yeah, right. Now, we think thoughts like that are pretty evil, don't we? But go read some of the religious books of other groups, and you'll read some crazy stories, folks. Did you know that? Stories that when you read them, you're going to go, man, I can't believe they believe this. That is exactly the way the atheist thinks about us. I can't believe they think about a prophet like this, that this actually happened, that this is the truth. You know what I'm thankful for? I'm thankful for Jesus. Because you see, Jesus confirmed the story of Jonah and the whale, didn't He? We turn over to Matthew chapter 12, 40 and 41. Listen to what Jesus says. As Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Uh-oh, Jesus just confirmed the story of Jonah. It's true. He was swallowed by a great fish. He was in that fish for 3 days and 3 nights. And guess what? He also went to Nineveh, didn't he? Notice the next statement. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment against this generation. And do what? And condemn it. Why? Because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Jesus confirmed the entire narrative of the story of Jonas in two little verses in the New Testament. Yes, there was a prophet by the name of Jonah. Yes, he was swallowed by a whale. Yes, he preached in Nineveh. And yes, the city of Nineveh repented. Folks, what's written in the book of Jonah is just as true as it can possibly be. Now, we can be like Jonah, can't we? Oh, not me. I would never be like Jonah. Oh, yeah, we rebel in sin, don't we? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. 1 John 1, verse 8. And when I get in that condition, guess what? I am glad of several things that Jonah had. I'm glad that I serve God. I'm glad He's a God of mercy. I'm glad that He grants me an avenue through which I can obtain pardon, aren't you? You see, in our afflictions, we turn to God and confess our sins just like Jonah did. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And all we have to do is bow our heads in prayer and say, God, forgive me, for I have transgressed Thy will. Repent, therefore, and pray God that if perhaps the thought of thy wickedness may be forgiven thee. Acts 8, verse 22. Jonah took place a long, long time ago. But old Jonah looks just like Victor Eskew a lot of times. The only difference is I'm not swallowed by a fish. It's the only difference. Are you playing the role of Jonah even at this point in your life? You look at your life, you know you're in rebellion against God, you know you're in transgression against Him. Folks, don't get to your wits' end to turn to Him. When you know you're against Him, turn immediately. Pray to Him for His mercy and pardon. Maybe you're here today and you've never obeyed the gospel. The steps for your forgiveness are somewhat different than those of a child of God. But they're just like they were in the first century. We hear the truth of the gospel. That produces faith in us. Romans 10:17. We believe in the Christ as the Son of God. John 8:24. We're willing to repent of our sins, die to that old way of living. Luke 13:3. We do like Jesus said do and confess Him before the Father so that one day He'll confess us before the Father in heaven. Matthew 10:32. And then we need to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Mark 16:16. Do you need to do that this morning? Do you need to respond to the invitation? Won't you come as we stand and sing?